Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will be talking about The Kind Kitchen with veteran cookbook author Drina Burton, who has been creating plant-based whole food recipes for more than 20 years. Home cooks know that they can trust her recipes because they turn out great and they're delicious. Now she has created this one-stop resource for making kinder, more compassionate food choices for other beings, for the planet, and for yourself. Whether you need weekly staple meals for your family or just want to wow your friends for a special occasion, Drina's Kind Kitchen Cookbook has covered you with these reliable, flavorful, and healthy recipes. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest news and research affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's some exclusive news that I have learned that I want to share with you, and that is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the world's largest professional society of professional nutritionists and registered dietitians. It's the largest in the world. They are currently writing and updating their position statement on vegetarian diets. Now, they do this every so many years and probably will be coming out with this new report in another year. But I want to share with you, back in 2016, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics released its official position on vegetarian diets at that time, which states, "It is the position of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics that appropriately planned vegetarian, including vegan diets, are helpful, nutritionally adequate, and may provide health benefits for the prevention and treatment of certain diseases. These diets are appropriate for all ages of the life cycle, including pregnancy, lactation, infancy, childhood, adolescence, older adulthood, and for athletes. Plant-based diets are more environmentally sustainable than diets rich in animal products because they use fewer natural resources and are associated with much less environmental damage. Vegetarians and vegans are at reduced risk of certain health conditions, including ischemic heart disease, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancer, and obesity. Low intake of saturated fat and high intakes of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, soy products, nuts, and seeds, all rich in fiber and phytochemicals, are characteristics of vegetarian and vegan diets that produce lower total and low-density lipoprotein cholesterol levels and better serum glucose control. These factors contribute to the reduction of chronic disease. Vegans need reliable sources of vitamin B12, such as fortified foods and supplements." So that was the report in 2016, and we look forward in maybe another year to find out their new updated position statement on vegetarian diets. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, I am thinking of starting a vegetarian diet, but I understand some vegetarian diets are healthy and some vegetarian diets are unhealthy. Can you give me some suggestions to help get started on a healthy vegetarian diet? Yes, I actually have 6 points that I recommend for people getting started on a healthy vegetarian diet. The first one is to eat mostly whole plant foods. The second, include 5 to 9 servings of vegetables and fruits daily, including a variety of colors as well as plenty of dark leafy green vegetables. Include raw plant foods in your diet, if possible, every day. And don't overcook your vegetables. The third point is to try to include at least 35 grams of fiber in your diet each day from a variety of plant foods. The fourth point is to minimize processed foods as much as possible, especially avoid those foods that contain refined carbohydrates. Eat mainly complex carbohydrate foods found in peas, beans, whole grains, and vegetables. The fifth point is to eliminate all foods and products that contain trans fatty acids. And six, rely more on whole foods such as nuts, seeds, and avocados for most of your fat intake. Use vegetable oils only in moderation.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Drina Burton. Drina is one of the pioneering vegan cookbook authors, vegan for 25 years herself, and she has charted her journey, a plant-based cook and a mother of 3 5 best-selling books that she's written. Drina has also collaborated with renowned plant-based physician, Dr. Neil Barnard, who's a good friend of mine. We've had him on here on the program a few times. And he wrote a book called The Cheese Trap, which he was involved with in doing the recipes. And also, most recent, the cookbook for reversing diabetes. Drina's recipes have been featured with groups like the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Forks Over Knives, Blue Zones, and the Food Network. Drina was also culinary coordinator for the Food Revolution Network's Whole Life Club. And she has a beautiful new book that we'll be talking about today called Drina's Kind Kitchen. Drina, thank you for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
Well, you know, let's first of all talk about, how did you come up with that name, Drina's Kind Kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with that name for the cookbook? That's a unique name.
You know, this is the first book that I actually even have my name in the title. Every other book I've named it something vegan, like I have, you know, play on phrases with the word vegan in it, like let them eat vegan, eat, drink, and be vegan. This is the first one that is my name. And the book before this was Plant Powered Families. So with this book, I really wanted to show people that regardless of where you are on your journey eating plant-based, this book will meet you where you are. And I offer so many tips and sort of like I'm your coach through the recipes and the book. So that was the idea, was to show people that this diet is obviously kind to yourself, your health, kind to the planet, kind to animals. And I approach it in a way that I think is kind to people reading, to kind of meet them and guide them on the way.
Well, I have to tell you, it's a beautiful book, over 100 whole food vegan recipes that you can use every day, beautiful pictures and illustrations so you can get an idea of how the recipe should turn out after you make it, and very well done. And I'd like to know a little bit about, before we get into the recipes, Tell us a little bit about your journey. And you refer to it as your journey to kind eating. Tell us about how that came about.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in a small town in North America, in just side of, on the very east coast of Canada. There's a little island called Newfoundland, right out in the Atlantic Ocean. And I grew up in a very small town there with my 5 sisters, grew up in a family of 6 girls.
Wow.
A lot of energy. We're all D's. All of our names are D's.
Really?
Yeah. So my mother, when she would get angry, she would just stutter a D, like just try to get out one of those names, you know.
Yeah.
And we grew up a very traditional meat and potatoes kind of household. I always loved food as a kid. I was that kid that ran up to my grandfather, had a little corner store, and I'd run up there and get all the junk food I could. And he was sweet on me. He would let me get whatever I could, you know, wanted. and then come home and eat dinner as well. And I, you know, my relationship with food wasn't always really good, eating a lot of junk food. And then my dad passed when I was 11, and I really turned to food for comfort very much. And so I put on weight as a young child. And my mother, that was sort of a very dieting culture in the 70s, where people did a lot of fad diets. I guess they still do now, but especially then. And I became very aware of food, let's say that. So I was very keen on elements of food and nutrition early on, but I didn't really understand what good food was and healthy food. It was just diets. And in my late teens, I learned a little about red meat and how it didn't digest very well. And that kind of triggered something in me. It was like set something off in my brain. And in my early 20s, I wasn't feeling great. My body felt sluggish. I didn't feel good after I ate. I felt very sluggish after I ate and tired. My joints were uncomfortable. In university, I was, you know, doing presentations and feeling like my joints were stiff to stand up. And I was in my early 20s and I'm 50 now. So this was, you know, a real alarm to me that something wasn't right. You know, what I was doing with my diet wasn't good for my body. And I first came across John Robbins' book, Diet for New America.
Oh, yeah.
Big awakening, right? About diet culture, how we're really trained from early days to think that dairy is so good for our body and that we need meat, of course, for protein. And how really that's an untraining of our bodies and our dietary habits, because really diet is a habit. How we eat is very much a habit from early childhood and on, and having to learn new skills. And that book really opened my eyes to make some changes. So I did so slowly, like most people. It was like, wow, this is totally unknown. I don't trust this, right? How can I trust this when it's so foreign? But slowly began to experiment with, okay, I'm going to cut out red meat. And then for a long time thought the white meat was okay, right? Only red meat's bad.
Right, right.
That's what we were told for a long time.
Sure.
And then cut out the, you know, chicken and fish. And then the final frontier was dairy, because that was very hard for me. I was like the dairy queen. I loved it all. And Parmesan was very hard. But once I did, my body felt so much better. And my digestion improved, my joints improved. I had gout in my 20s. So this was
really?
Like a big, yes,
wow.
Yes. Yeah. So I think my body's probably...
That's an old person's disease, really,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, right, exactly. It shouldn't be in 20s. So I think my, you know, body is prone to having those issues and showed up very early with those dietary factors in place. And so later on, I came across, I was already moving in vegan, and then for a period of time was eating plant-based, and then came across the China study by Dr. Campbell,
right,
which was very solidifying to me. I mean, I was already plant-based, but it really helped me have confidence in then raising my children this way and learning more through authors like Brenda Davis, Becoming Vegan. Those books really helped me with my children and helping them grow in this diet. So yeah, that was my personal journey. It wasn't an overnight thing, but it was, you know, very gradual, but successful. And along the way, I wanted to share recipes. And I was working in the marketing field, but loved creating recipes. And people said to me, you know, you light up when you talk about food and recipes. So that was my start to write. My first book was in 2002, but I began writing it around 1999.
And John Robbins later wrote the foreword to your book here, your new book.
Yes.
Which
yes.
A lot of people, you know, you said he caught your attention on dairy products, and quite interesting with his background,
mm-hmm.
having been the heir to the Baskin and Robbins ice cream chain. There's one down the street from where I live right here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, I noticed they have vegan ice creams
they
now,
do.
Or plant-based ones, which he could have pioneered, but they wouldn't probably let him do it at that time. I wouldn't say they're the real healthiest type of ice cream, even though they're vegan, but it's an interesting evolution to how they got to that way. And of course, John Robbins turned down his in an heir to that fortune because he was against the dairy products.
That's right.
And then later, you know, totally into whole food, plant-based diet, doing great work. Brenda Davis, who's a dietitian, she's been on my show. We're very close friends and colleagues. Worked together through the vegetarian practice group of the Academy of Nutrition Dietetics. Dr. Campbell is also a very good friend of mine. He's been on my program also. So these are good people that you started learning from.
Yeah.
And what was your motivation? Was it health? Was it concern for animals? And that's where the kind, but it's also kind for your body and kind for the planet too. But what was your motivation to go to plant-based? What are those areas? Because everyone comes in a different way.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think each person comes to it in their own place, right? It's either for ethics or for concern for the environment or for their health. For me, it was obviously for health, definitely came from health. Mm. But then I learned a lot more as I was growing with the diet. I think that it's very much impossible to enter this diet and not learn about those other elements along the way, right? This is part of the growth with the diet. And I think to be successful in the diet, that's also part of it. I think if you come to the diet from an ethical perspective, learning about the health and eating whole foods, then that just nurtures your body and helps you have more longevity with the diet.
Right.
So yeah, it's very much came from a place of health reasons, but obviously learning with all aspects.
Yeah, that's very much the same way myself. I was a teenager also and got interested in health and nutrition and fitness and so forth. And then later on, you know, you see, wow, it affects all those animals. And and now today, because I also got interested in the environmental issues during that time, that you see the impact on the environment that animal agriculture causes a negative thing, where a plant-based can actually be very helpful in covering a lot of the problems today with our environment. Now, so let's say someone wants to say, hey, you know, I'd like to set up a kind kitchen.
Mm.
What's in a kind kitchen? What are the ingredients? What are the supplies? What do you have to do to store foods? How do you create a kind kitchen?
Great question. I began on the diet from the basics, what I call the vegan basics, because when I became vegan, plant-based, there were no substitutes available, right? That was a day when things were not, you couldn't go to the store and find a vegan cheese. There were very few vegan milks. We went to a little store and tofu was in a big vat of water. Yes,
right.
That was the day. So I began cooking with basics, grains, beans, whole foods, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and, you know, those very basic elements. So I cover that in the book and talk about what your plant-based pantry really is comprised of. And so in these recipes, I use those basics. I love potatoes and sweet potatoes. I use those a lot. Beans and legumes, whole grains, nuts and seeds, lots of spices and flavors. And of course, there are condiments and things that now are also available being made vegan, like a Worcester sauce, and those things are in your pantry. But really, you can make these recipes with the basics. You don't need to go out and buy special vegan products like a vegan sour cream or vegan cheese. These are all made with the fundamentals. And then those other products are fun to have for, you know, treats or convenience. We all need some convenience in our life.
Yeah.
I do too. I've got vegan pizzas in the freezer. So, you know, it's not to say we can't enjoy them or have them, but to make the foundation of our diet these basics.
Okay. So, of course, in the book, there'll be more explanation on that. We'll talk more about the book, but let's get into the book.
Yeah.
Before we get into some examples of some of the fabulous recipes you have in there, tell us about your book and what's all in it and how you've laid it out.
Yeah, thank you. So the book has over 100 whole food vegan recipes, and it covers all, you know, meals of the day from breakfast right through to dessert. I set people up at the beginning of the book with, it's kind of like guiding them from almost the grocery store to your chopping board. So over the 25 years that I've been cooking plant-based, I've found ways to make my cooking more efficient. And I have lots of tricks and tips. So I share those in the book. So for instance, when I go to the grocery store and I bring home my, you know, big shop of veggies and fruit for the week, I will wash most of those right away and get them ready into the fridge so they're ready for chopping, ready for snacking. And I share those elements in the book and which vegetables and fruit wash well and which ones you don't want to wash right away. And then also which veg you can prep and have ready in the fridge. I also include lots of information about batch cooking. So especially when we're busy or we have families and we're cooking for large, you know, numbers of people or people with huge appetites, which is the case of my family, lots of, you know, I feel like I'm always feeding.
How many children do you have?
Three girls. A husband and three girls. And people say boys eat a lot as teenagers, but I say girls eat just as much.
Okay.
Especially if they're in activities, because ours are in activities and they can eat a lot of food. I feel like I'm feeding a football team.
So you got plenty of recipes that young kids would like to eat too.
Oh, absolutely. Because this is the food that I'm creating, you know, for my own family to eat as well. Right. But when you're cooking day to day, you need shortcuts. You need things to make your process more efficient. When I was first creating recipes, I used to love to do recipes in steps, saute ingredients, and then do this. Now I like to just get everything very fast into the food processor or into a casserole dish, into the oven, so that, you know, you're not spending a ton of time in the process of cooking, but rather just getting it prepped very quickly and ready for the family. Batch cooking, that's the other thing I talk about a lot before I get into the recipes, is what elements can you batch cook that keep well and how to use them in the recipe, how to batch things like rice, sweet potatoes, soaking nuts, things like that, and having it ready in the freezer and fridge so that you can pull them together for the recipe. And then I have a full section on frequently asked questions because, again, I get a lot of frequently asked questions. So when people ask about substitutions for nuts or beans, or can I freeze this? Like, can I freeze hummus? Yes, you can freeze hummus. Which recipes freeze well? Lots of questions answered there.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those recipes. Give me an example. Let's say, first of all, one thing special that you need to know with the book is it's whole food plant-based recipes. So the ingredients, they haven't gone through a lot of refining. It's more of the whole foods. And one of the things that you're doing is cooking without oil, because oil, it goes through some process and it's concentrated fat. So what are just some tips on how do you cook without oil? I mean, people use that for everything, right?
Yeah, and I did too. Early in my days of cooking and plant-based cooking, I used a lot of oil as well. And then I learned a lot more through, you know, some of the health practitioners in the field about how it's really quite a refined and extracted product. And so to use it either very sparingly or to omit it from your diet.
Right.
And so we just want to say that I don't judge people if they use it, but I show people how they can cook and bake without it. So a lot of times I use purees of vegetables and fruit to lend texture, and then they also add sweetness. Like I have a cake in there using yellow sweet potatoes for both the frosting and in the batter of the cake, because that yellow sweet potato adds texture in the cake. It adds sweetness in the frosting. So using those elements, those key ingredients, not to hide them, right? We're not hiding the vegetables, but to use the best properties that they have in the recipe. And so I create oil-free dressings as well, using nuts and seeds in place of dressing or in place of the oil, and really showing people how they can make, you know, everything from breakfast to desserts without the oil.
So the natural fats are coming from the whole food, like the nuts and seeds and so forth.
Yeah.
Now let's go through some recipes. Give me a good breakfast recipe.
Okay, so I just did this recipe for a TV segment, and people really love this. It's called light and fluffy pancakes, and they have just four main ingredients, and they're really foolproof, so anyone can make them. This recipe is actually on my blog as well. So I posted this one last week, and so fast, so easy. And I think if you've had trouble making pancakes, you're really going to like this recipe. And when I was making them for the TV segment, my daughter came in and said, "Mom, they're so light and fluffy." That's why I call them light and fluffy pancakes. So that's a great breakfast recipe. And really, you can batch those as well. You could make them on the weekend and just reheat them during the week.
Okay. How about a lunch recipe?
Well, lots of things there. Soups, I have plenty of soups. And there's a number of really hearty burger recipes. So I'd recommend perhaps my Bistro Burgers, and they include whole grains and lots of great seasonings to bring that what I call umami flavor. So sometimes people feel plant-based food is missing this other element in flavor. And we get this umami through things like tamari and miso and tomato paste and sun-dried tomatoes. So those burgers bring in some of those key umami flavors so that you really enjoy a good plant-based burger.
Okay. And you were going to mention, too, maybe a dessert recipe after dinner, right?
Yeah. Well, I already talked about the sweet potato cake, but I also have a brownie recipe that uses no flour. So if you need a gluten-free recipe, this one's naturally gluten-free because it sounds odd, but it uses red lentils. And that's what the brownies are made of. They're made from red lentils. I promise you won't know they have red lentils. And the entire batter is made in a blender, and then it transfers from the blender to the brownie pan.
I know you can do that type of thing with brownies. I've had black bean brownies that were really good, too. And that's a lot of fiber and good protein, too.
Right.
So it's a wonderful what you can do with whole foods, plant-based diet. And so the book is called Drina's Kind Kitchen, has 100 plus whole food vegan recipes to enjoy, published by Ben Bella Books. And Drina, tell people how they can get a hold of your book.
Yeah, the book is in most retailers now, online, Amazon, and other online retailers as well. And they can also pop to my website to find information, a lot more detail about the book, and that's drinaburton.com.
Okay, Drina, DreenaBurton.com, and that's your website.
Yes.
And that connects to a blog that you have if people want to keep up with your recipes, and you're on there demonstrating, or what do you do?
Yeah, I also do a lot of videos. So if you go to my website, then you'll find links to my Facebook page where I do live videos. I did one yesterday it's called Kin Queso. It's a pumpkin seed based queso recipe in the book. So oil-free and also nut-free. And I also have a YouTube channel, so they can find some cooking demos on there as well. Because a lot of people want to see the recipe being made, not just read it. And so I do a little of that.
So anyway, I recommend our listeners get a copy of Drina's Kind Kitchen Cookbook, and a great resource to have in your library. It's nice to get all these cookbooks in your library you can refer to, because these are beautiful recipes, beautiful pictures, and it's all whole food, plant-based, and very healthy for a healthy family. Thank you so much for being with us today, Drina.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.